Good evening. Welcome to shareenjoyment.com. Welcome to everyone here on our Zoom link. Special shout out to Jake Weinman for his incredible effort on behalf of all of us. He is the host. As you all see here now with Zoom, we can see that he is the host, not just a virtual person out there in the world, but he's with us here on the share, ensuring that everything is perfect. Thank you so much, Jake. And of course, to Mitch Green for his awesome technical assistance and ensuring that shareenjoyment.com is a smooth, wonderful experience. Puts in an enormous amount of time and effort. We really have to thank him with all of our heart. Thank you to Rabbi Nyman for coming. It's very kind of you. Rabbanim, come join other members. That's a very beautiful thing. And to all of our very chashuv guests who have joined us to learn a few words of Torah tonight. This Monday night here in New York, it's very cold, but with all of you, it's very warm. Okay, this week is Parashas. First, we have to dedicate the shiur l'zecho u'li nishmas man shitzlich ben Aryeh. We want to thank our sponsor for his generosity in sponsoring the shiur in every week. L'zecho nishmasay. And may this neshama have an aliyah. Thank you very much. Of course, we begin by also being mevakesh that Hashem in the schools of the learning should have rachamim upon the hostages and their families, protect the chayolim, to protect us all, to bring nechama to all the people who have lost relatives, children, siblings, spouses, this horrific war. And may Ribbono shel Olam Abrahamim upon all of us and bring this war to an end, an outcome that is a bracha for Klal Yisrael. This week is Parshas Yisro. I want to share with you just some short ideas. We'll talk about an idea and we'll try to bring out one or two ideas. This week, when Yisro hears about the miraculous salvation of the Jewish people, Mitzrayim, he hears about the Chiyas Amalek, Baal of Amalek. Rashi says different. There's a discussion among the commentators is exactly what inspired Yisro to come. A Yishna Yisrael, Yisro. Yisro heard about different events and he came, but he did not come alone. It says in the pasuk, "Vayishma Yisro, Eisa Kol Asher Os Hashem Yishol, Hulu Hulu," and he didn't come alone. It says he brought with him Tzipor, his daughter, the wife of Moshe, the S, Shnei Vonecha, with two children. And here the Torah goes out of its way to tell us what their names are. Asher Shem Hoechad Gershoim, Ki Omar, Ger Hoyisi, Bieretz Nochria, Veshem Hoechad Eliezer, Ki Elokei Ovi Biezri, Ayatzileni Mecheref Paru. If the Torah would have said that Yisro came alone, and it would not tell us openly that he came with Tzipora and Moshe's children, it's not likely we would be disturbed. We would have a question. Maybe the Medrash Chazal will fill in a tradition that Yisro came together with Tzipora and with her children. I think we would figure that out. There are other ways where the Torah would allow us to figure out who came with Yisro. And if the Torah wants to elaborate and tell us Yisro came with Tzipora and he came with her children, Moshe's children, and would not say their names, I think we would be very satisfied and we would not be bothered very much. If the Torah would go even further and tell us that Yisro came with Tzipora and her children, whose names were Gershon and Eliezer, we would be even more satisfied and we would not seem to be disturbed at all. Yet the Torah did something very unusual. Not only did it tell us that Yisro came and he brought his daughter Tzipora, the husband, the wife of Moshe, and she took along with her their two children, the Torah goes out of its way to tell us why they were called Gershon and Eliezer. Why is that necessary? Why does the Torah have to tell us here specifically when Yisro is now going to Moshe Rabbeinu to tell us their names? What is that necessary? What is it all about? Why? Why is that necessary? So, okay, there are many ideas here. There are many ideas that we could explain. Some really don't really answer this particular question, but maybe they do. And let's just use this as a springboard to talk about some ideas in general. And let's see where it goes. First thing I want to mention here is that there appears to be a parallel between the two children of Moshe and the two children of Yosef. Moshe and Yosef have something in common. They were both leaders of the Jewish people in Golos. Yosef, when Klal Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim, who did they come? They came under the authority of Yosef. Yosef brought them down, provided their passage, got them into the country, set them up in Goshen, supported them, provided for them, protected them. He did for them the impossible. Moshe pretty much did the same too. I mean, it's different, of course. Moshe took them out of Egypt, but Moshe was there, you know, originally. Moshe left for 40 years. Moshe came back, and the story of Mitzrayim was approximately 1 year, and Moshe brought an end to the servitude. And Moshe was extremely well respected. Yosef had two children, and Paro had two children. Yosef's two children were Ephraim and Menashe. Moshe's two children were Gershon and Eliezer. The Torah doesn't just tell us that Yosef had two children. The Torah tells us the reason he named them Ephraim and Menashe. Ephraim, because Hashem has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Ki hefrani Elokim bi'eretz ani. Menashe is, I have forgotten the pain of my father's home. I've forgotten ki nashani Elokim es beis avi. Life here is so good. I mean, that's what it would seem. I have forgotten my father. Is that really possible? So indeed, there are many, many commentators that discuss this at great length. What exactly is the deeper meaning between the names of Ephraim and Menashe, and how all of this comes together? Let's now contrast Gershon versus Ephraim. Ki ger hoyisi bi'eretz ani. I am a ger. I am a foreigner. I am a sojourner in the land of my affliction. What did Yosef say about his child Ephraim? Hashem has made me fruitful. Fruitful and successful in the land of my affliction. Now, we have to also understand that Ephraim had his children when he was in Egypt. Moshe had his children when he was no longer in Egypt, when he was in Midian. However, I believe this is correct, and if not, we are suggesting is that when Moshe named his children Gershon and Eliezer, he was not naming them based on where he was now in Midian, in the home of Yisro, but was reflecting upon where he came from. Moshe was a fugitive. He fled from Egypt. He came to Midian. He married Zipporah. And when he named his children, their names reflected his experience in Egypt. And in Egypt, he acknowledged with his first child that he is a foreigner in a land that he does not belong. Contrast that with Yosef, who said, Ki hefrani Elokim bi'eretz ani. Hashem has made me fruitful successful in a strange foreign land. Second child of each, Menashe, Hashem has allowed me to forget where I come from. Moshe said, Hashem has saved me. He has saved me from He Elokei Avi, God of my father. He is at my side. That's the opposite of Menashe. Menashe said, I have forgotten my father's home and everything that we can associate with his father. Moshe is saying just the opposite. The God of my father is at my side and he has spared me. Isn't it remarkable that we have two leaders, we have Moshe and we have Yosef. They both have a lot in common. They both were leaders. Their destiny was to lead the Jewish people in a foreign land. They both had two children. They both named their children relating to their experience in a foreign land. And the names that they give their children are the opposites, are complete opposites. Ephraim, I'm successful in this. Here I am, even though this is a strange land. It's wonderful. I'm successful. Moshe, Kiger Hayisi, the Eretz Ani. I'm a stranger. The Eretz Nochuya in a strange foreign land. The second child, Yosef, I forgot my father. And Moshe says, Hashem is at my side. Aloy Dover, is this not something remarkable? Two people, similar missions, two children, each one. The names are reflecting their experience. And they, at face value, seem to say completely opposite ideas. We have to say, okay, this you can say whatever you want to say. Everyone is entitled to become a darshan. Come on, sheerenjoyment.com, speak up and say an idea. But I think the fact that we have these two similarities is presenting us, telling us that in life, there are two different ways to look at something. There are two sides of every coin has two sides. When you make a coin, you don't just have a slab of metal and you imprint an image, you emboss an image on one side and leave the other side blank. A coin has two sides. And it's important to reflect both sides of the coin. In other words, what I'm suggesting is that Moshe and Yosef are saying the same thing in different ways or reflecting two different dimensions of the same experience. And each one is critical. On the one hand, the person has to realize what he's in Galus. Don't get too comfortable. Ger hayisi be'eretz nachuya. I am a stranger. I don't belong in Galus. I don't belong here. This is not where a Jew belongs. A Jew belongs in Eretz Yisrael. We're going to have to give a din v'cheshbon as why we're still in Galus. Why in the modern world when we have an opportunity to go to Eretz Yisrael? It's not so, and why don't we go? We should go. We should make Aliyah. We don't belong in Galus. Why are we here? So there are different reasons. Everyone has a reason, valid reason. It's not so simple just to pick yourself up and go to Eretz Yisrael. There are obviously many considerations, each his own. And thus, if we're here, we have to acknowledge we don't belong here. But never fail to give Hashem shevach v'hodoyah, praise and thanksgiving for our success in Golos, that although we are here in Golos, and Golos is a bitter experience, Hashem has allowed us to survive, to live, to have families, to have parnasa, and we can never ignore the reality, ki hifrani elokeinu be'eretz ani. We're in a country that we don't belong in. And it could be a lot worse. And yet Hashem has allowed us to thrive and survive. This is an incredible blessing for which we have to give Hashem shevach v'hodayah. But don't get too comfortable. Don't forget, we don't belong here. There's a danger. If we're too comfortable and we're too happy with our success, our lives that we've made for ourselves here in this country, then we are in violation of the gift of Eretz Yisrael that Hashem has promised our ancestors. The other side of the coin of Ki hifrani alukili Eretz ani is Ki ger hoyisi bi Eretz nachuya. This is not our land. This is not where we belong. We are foreigners. The second coin is to remember where we come from. In Ashani Lukim Espesavi, Yosef said, many of the commentators learned that that we name the son Menashe doesn't mean to pass the Shalom say that, oh, life here is so good, I forgot my father's home. Chas v'shalom. What he meant to say was, Hashem has been so kind to me, I feel that I may for a moment forget where I come from. If I will call my child by the name Menashe, that will force me to remember my father. Every time I say Menashe, I immediately remember my father, and I acknowledge that I am beginning to forget as Beisavi. I'm beginning to forget, and I have to prevent myself from forgetting my father's home. And the way I will do that is by calling my son Menashe, and that will prevent me from forgetting as Beisavi. What did Moshe do? Moshe did the same thing. Ki elokei avi be'ezri v'yatzileni mi'cherev paro. Moshe, it's the same idea, but Moshe is being proactive. And look, look that my father is here with me. Sometimes a person is able to see that his success, his salvation, is only because the effort, the toil, the yigiyah that his ancestors put into him is what is keeping him going, is what is guarding him both in a spiritual way and in his behavior. And sometimes when a person does not feel and see that, he has to remember, although now he's going through a dark moment, but never forget. Never forget where he comes from, where he comes from, and where he is rooted. So Moshe and Yosef, in essence, are saying the same thing. The only difference is sometimes we are able to witness the salvation, and sometimes we don't witness. When we don't, we have to remember, don't forget. Don't let us not fool ourselves in thinking for a moment that the investment of our ancestors has worn off. And when we do see success, we shall never fail to remember and attribute our blessing to what our ancestors have done for us. So this is one idea. This is one idea to bring out, trying to bring out this one idea where we are comparing Moshe to Yosef, two children apiece. The names are touching upon the same concepts, but from a different angle. Let me just share with you one other short idea, and that is this moment here when Moshe Rabbeinu Klal Yisrael comes out of Mitzrayim, they leave Mitzrayim and they wage war with Amalek and are partially successful, is a dugma. It is a foreshadowing of the ultimate geula. When Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, where are they going? They're now going into Eretz Yisrael. They're going into, it's in essence a foreshadowing of the kibbutz golios. Mitzrayim was the prototype of all golos. Miraculously have they left Egypt with miracles. L'malim derech hateva. And they're here on the way to mekabel the Torah and to go into Eretz Yisrael. This is exactly what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. There's going to be a kibbutz golios. We're going to leave the exiles. We're going to leave all the parts of the world. We're going to make an ascent to Eretz Yisrael. And certainly there will be a renewal of our commitment to the Torah. Just as Klal Yisrael here on the way to Eretz Yisrael first comes to Har Sinai and is mekabel the Aseres Adibros. And Chazal tells us that we come to Eretz Yisrael, we appoint the Melech. One of the missions of the Melech is to wage a war against Amalek. Nechias Amalek, one of the mitzvahs of Melech has an obligation is to eradicate Amalek. Ki zocher eis asher osu l'cha Amalek, v'aderech ha'b'seischa b'mitzrayim, chulu v'chulu, timcha zecher Amalek. This last week's parasha and parashas Kiseitse, and we have that here in this story. And then we have here Yisrael coming forward and bringing Moshe Rabbeinu his children. I want to suggest that it's also part of the Maisa of a Simon Labana. There are psukim in Nevi'im, it's mentioned in Tehillim. It's mentioned, I think, more explicitly in Sefer Yeshaya. The Mashiach will come. All of the nations of the world are going to desperately want to present the Melech HaMashiach with a gift, beautiful gift. What could you possibly give the man that has it all? What are you going to give the Melech HaMashiach? Are you going to buy him a tie? What are you going to buy the Melech HaMashiach? An electronical device? A challah board? Bread basket? Some dentures? What can you possibly give the Melech HaMashiach that he will enjoy, will find benefit from? So it says in Sefer Yeshaya that the heads of state, all the nations of the world are going to find a very appropriate gift. They're going to search their archives. They're going to call upon the experts and pull out the records of the country's history. And they're going to dig very, very deep into the lineage of every single citizen in their country and uncover whom in their country is a Jew? Who in their country, who is really come has a Jewish mother, a Jewish grandmother, a Jewish great-grandmother? And many of these people may not even be aware that they're Jewish, but they are. And the only ones that have the power and awareness to know who is Jewish are countries with their resources, their records, their archives, the tools that they have available to search deep, deep down to discover who, where are there any neshamos that belong to Klal Yisrael. And they will search and they will find these neshamos and they will approach them and they will say, do you know that you have a holy Yiddish neshama? And these people will be taken and they will be transported to Eretz Yisrael and they will be presented as a gift to the Melech HaMashiach. Here we have a gift. This person is one of yours, a long lost neshama, a holy neshama, This is our gift to you, the Melech HaMashiach. We're not presenting you with money. We're not presenting you with an award, with a plaque, with a honorary doctorate, with a piece of silver. It's nonsense. The Melech HaMashiach has the gift that we will present the Melech HaMashiach will be that the heads of state of the nations of the world are the Jewish neshamos, as it says in the pasuk in Yeshaya, Yoivilu Shai Lamoire. It will be presented a gift to the teacher. The Moire in this context refers to the Melech HaMashiach. And Yovilu, they refers to the subject of the word, they refers to the heads of state of the Umos HaOlam. And the gift, as it's mentioned in the Psukim, in Yeshaya and elsewhere, are the holy lost neshamas. I'd like to suggest to you that this idea is foreshadowed here in this week's parasha. Here is a dogma of Mashiach. Kibbutz Goliyos, the whole Klal Yisrael has left Egypt, is coming to Eretz Yisrael. There's a battle against Amalek to destroy evil in this world. There's Matan Torah on the way to Eretz Yisrael. Certainly when Mashiach will come, there will be a new commitment, a new Kabbalah, a new bris of Torah to renew our vows, our commitment to Hashem. And then Yisro was a very well-known, respected person who experimented with all religions. He was well-known throughout the entire world. And what does he come and do? Moshe, I have for you two neshamas that are yours, Gershon and Eliezer. These are your neshamos. They were not present at the time of Mitzrayim. They were not in Mitzrayim. They were with me for whatever the reasons were. They were not by Matan Torah, if we learned that the event of Matan Torah took place before Yisro came. But these two neshamos, Gershon and Eliezer, they are yours. Yoivilu shtai lamoire. It's all here in this parasha. This parasha is a simen, maise ovois, simen labonim, foreshadowing the coming of Mashiach, the sequence of events, the concepts that will come forth when Mashiach comes. So to summarize, what do we learn tonight? Parasha Yisro, we mentioned over here that we have Yisro comes to Moshe Rabbeinu when he comes with two of Moshe's children on Sipporah. And the Torah mentions their names and tells us the reason why Moshe called them by their name. And we've discussed the parallel between these two children of Moshe to the children of Yosef. They're very similar, but they're very different. And we have suggested they represent two sides of one coin. They're in essence saying the same thing, but there are different perspectives, different dimensions. And each set of children with their names complement the other perspective, the other side of the coin. Too much of one thing sometimes can be dangerous. Everything has to be kept in balance. And the second completely separate idea that we mentioned is that there's a beautiful principle in Nach. It's found in many different contexts, is that the gift that will be brought to the Melech HaMashiach are the neshamas, the lost neshamas of Klal Yisrael, Yavilu Shai Lamoire. And that here is foreshadowed in the beginning of Parshas Yisro, after a kibbutz Goliath, Kabbalah Satorah, a Mulchemes Amalek, Moshe, these are your neshamas. These neshamas, they understand. These neshamas understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Elokei Avi, Be'ezri Vayatz, Sileinu Micherev Paro, they're yours. And this is the gift we give to the Melech HaMashiach, where the whole Klal Yisrael will come back and do Teshuvah and return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May we merit that in our lifetime we should see the coming of Mashiach witness the kibbutz galuyos, witness a renewal of Torah, witness the eradication of evil, and witness the return all of the neshamas of Klal Yisrael to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Thank you so much for coming and listening and learning with me tonight. And you all have a wonderful week, a week of success, bracha, nachas, Yimaleh Hashem kol mishalis libechem l'toiva. Thank you and have a good night.